the Lord's Prayer with a focus on spirit. On page 14 at the bottom, Mary Baker Eddy begins giving us an introduction to the all-important single prayer that Jesus offered the world, named the Lord's Prayer. I shall begin reading it, but not doing any commentary on the first part, because that has been covered in detail in other recordings. There's going to be a recording on the Lord's Prayer, focusing on each of the seven, and we have done four of them. This recording will begin with exploring the Lord's Prayer with its spiritual interpretation by Mary Baker Eddy, with a focus on the second synonymous term for God in the days of creation order, which is spirit. Before we begin, let's explore the first three introductory quotes at the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The first quote is the words of Jesus as recorded by John in the Gospel of John. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." The third one is from Mary Baker Eddy. "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." The first quote is telling us what the benefit will be if we understand what truth is. Know, of course, is the term that means understanding. We will be free of all sense of limitation. We'll be free of believing in anything that is not true. The second one is telling us we better be careful what we accept as an item to be discussing, because that sets it within consciousness. So we better be discussing only the things that are good. We don't discuss evil. We should know how evil operates, but we don't need to discuss it. We should move immediately from exposing it to then focusing on God, which are the facts. Evil is unreality, which we will learn as we study more and more in Christian Science. So if we want to have a good outcome in our life, and Mary Baker Eddy defines good on page 587 of Science and Health in the glossary, and she defines good, G-O-O-D, as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And omniscience includes omni-knowing, omni-intelligence, and omni-wisdom. The third quote is telling us that if we are praying and God has heard our prayer, we're going to be blessed. In other words, we're going to be able to have the benefits of God become visible to us. Mentally, if not, also physically. But the key is to understand what prayer is. In the Bible, it tells us that we should pray without ceasing. That seems to give us the clue that prayer is how we're living our life. And if we desire to pray without ceasing, that means that we want to do everything in our life that represents qualities of God. Remove personality altogether in the way we are thinking and talking and acting. But we focus on qualities. And if we do that, our prayer will be heard because our prayer will be living the qualities, and the qualities automatically provide benefits. Okay, the following is the definition of God from page 465, which is the chapter on recapitulation, 14, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. God, incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And we're going to be focusing today on the second one, which is spirit. And spirit is defined as being flawless, transparent, because there's no flaw, and therefore reflective. So if we seek the truth, that is exactly following Jesus' words, we're supposed to understand the truth. And if we do, we will be set free from believing in error, its opposite, as being real. And therefore, we are opening the path. Mary Baker Eddy describes our progress as infinite progression is concrete being. And she also indicates precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, which is a quote from Isaiah. So she's saying, don't try to accomplish the world in one day. She says, just learn a little bit each time you study. So this is what we're planning to do right now, and that is to explore the term spirit as it applies to the Lord's Prayer. Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, provided in her last writing that she published a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And chapters 4 through 10, each one of those chapters focuses on one of the seven synonymous terms. So we're going to take a look at some of the things that she says in chapter 5, which is a focus on spirit. And we're going to start with the words that she says that she discovered by going through every single page of Science and Health. And if it was capitalized, that means that it is representing the term to describe God. And that list includes 50 words. And she also looked for words to describe the opposite of God. And that list includes 22 words. So here are the words that are on the positive side of describing God. Ability. adores appear. Baptism, birth, blesses, chain, Christianity, conception, creates, day, dedication, develop, devotion, discerns, faith, firmament, focus, fruit, good, gratitude, illumination, incubator, language, leaven, likeness, love, nature, offspring, only, order, patience, positive, prism, progress, purity, quality, reality, reflection, reigns, separates, spiritual, spiritual warfare, strength, substance, supreme, understanding, unfoldment, warmth, and worship. And here are the terms that describe the opposite of spirit as used by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health. Absorption, animal, backward, chaos, chemicalization, compromise, confusion, disorder, dualism, dust, electricity, evil, flesh, materiality, matter, mingles, opposition, pantheism, physical, relapse, regression, and spiritualism. So anytime we use either one of those terms, we are either referring to God or the opposite of what God is. Having covered those introductory items, let's now review the text beginning on page 14, the last two lines. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Spiritual sanctuary. So spake Jesus. The closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit, the door of which shuts out sinful sense, but lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth, and vice versa. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses, but He knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of the erring senses must be closed. Lips must be mute, and materialism silent, that man may have audience with spirit, the divine principle love, which destroys all error. Effectual invocation. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and to go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. So it's giving us the clue right there that prayer is living our desires. And of course, we want to be desiring spiritual qualities. Trustworthy beneficence. Christians rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world, but known to God. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. See, she tells us right there what is pray without ceasing. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection. Practice, not profession. Understanding, not belief. Gain the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Trustworthiness is the foundation of enlightened faith. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. Loftiest adoration. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer is not one of faith merely, it is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. So it's saying here that prayer heals sickness and destroys sin and will raise the dead. And that's what we should be striving for in the way we live our life. That we will be given the opportunity to overcome these ills. Sickness, of course, is anything that is unlike perfection. Sin is a motive that is unwholesome. And death is not living the qualities of God. If we're living just expressing sin, we are dead. We are dead to the truth. We're the dead to the real man and what we're supposed to be doing with our thought, speech, and action. The prayer of Jesus Christ. Our Master taught his disciples one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. Our Master said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And then he gave that prayer which covers all human needs. There is indeed some doubt among Bible scholars whether the last line is not an addition to the prayer by a later copyist. But this does not affect the meaning of the prayer itself. In the phrase, "Deliver us from evil," the original properly reads, "Deliver us from the evil one." This reading strengthens our scientific apprehension of the petition. For Christian Science teaches that the evil one, or one evil, is but another name for the first lie and all liars. Only as we rise above all material sensuousness and sin can we reach the heaven-born aspiration and spiritual consciousness which is indicated in the Lord's Prayer and which instantaneously heals the sick. And remember, sick is anything that is ungodlike. So any discord at all is sickness. Sin is sickness. And sickness is sin. Because sin means that we have the wrong motive. So she's going to give us what she understands to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Hallowed be thy name. Adorable one. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen. Let's go back and look at each of the verses and relate it to some of the words that define God in accordance with the list that was read to you, which includes all the places in science and health where the term spirit, when it's capitalized, is used. So the first verse says, Our Father which art in heaven, and then the spiritual sense by Mary Baker Eddy, Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Well, it's very interesting that Mary Baker Eddy is defining Father as Father and Mother. Father is a symbol for life, and Mother is a symbol for nurturing, bringing to fulfillment, mothering. In other words, looking for the qualities that need to be developed more fully to bring the complete idea into wholeness. So she mothers whatever is needed to be nurtured to bring everything up to the standard of perfection. Mary Baker Eddy states that we must love everything about God. That means we must love the quality of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, and love itself. So what does it mean to love mind, for example? Well, one of the qualities of mind is intelligence. Another one is wisdom. Another is knowing. We want to love it, which means we want to express it. Whatever we do, we want to make sure that we are doing it intelligently. We want to make sure we understand the principle involved in what we're doing. Bicknell Young, a very successful Christian Science practitioner, had people come to him that wanted help on their business problem. And he would find the biggest problem is they didn't know what they were doing. So he would send them away. We have to understand the principle of whatever activity we are involved in order to do it perfectly. If we don't understand the physical nature of the practical steps that we need to take, God can't be of any help. Because we have to know the principle. And principle, of course, is one of the primary qualities of God. In other words, we need to know how the operation is supposed to be taking place when we're running a business. What are the different departments we need? What are their functions? Do we have good people in each of those departments to do the work that's supposed to be done? Do we have good supervision to make sure that they are supervised and kept on track? Christian Science is not a magical religion. It is a practical religion. The reason Mary Baker Eddy said Jesus was the best man that ever trod the globe was that Jesus utilized the qualities of humanity to their fullest, and that enabled him to express divinity. We have to know the letter, and we have to imbibe the spirit, because that's what Christian Science is. It is a combination of the letter and the spirit. Love is our spirit, and love is what we do to nurture all of the other qualities. It's the spiritual nature, wanting to bring to perfection the intelligence and the wisdom and the knowing, making sure that we understand that spirit is the only substance. Therefore, we're going to nurture utilizing the words in that list that I mentioned instead of something less. Good was one of those words. And Mary Baker Eddy defines good as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Gratitude is another word that describes spirit. Are we grateful for everything that we do? Because what we're doing is an opportunity to glorify God. In everything we do, we should be thinking of it as a way to glorify God. And that means we have to be doing it with a spiritual attitude, not a materialistic. We don't think of money as supply if we're thinking of spirit as the substance. We think of money only as a tool, which is a temporary means, as a medium of exchange, exchanging for what we have for what we need. It's merely a tool. One of the things in our toolbox. It is not the end all. should never be the motive of anything we do. It should not be the motive of having a job. It should not be the motive of anything at all. You name it, and if money is your motive, then you're on the wrong track. You're certainly not on the track of spirit. You're not on the track of the Lord's Prayer. You're not on the track of what God is. You're not on the track of what man is. And you're not on track of what the relationship is between God and his idea man. Everything is wrong about what you're thinking if your focus is on money in any way, shape, or form. We must remember that evil operates under the umbrella of deception. So it's going to be screaming at you, you don't have enough money. How are you going to do this? You got to have money. I'll tell you how you can get it real fast, the devil says. Yeah, here's a bank. They got plenty. Or here's an armored truck. Oh, there's plenty in there. Just take it. Rob it. Kill the people. Whatever you need to do, just grab the money and run. Now, what happens if you think about supply? Supply means that you are filling a void. A void means that you think that you are short of something that you need. What is the only thing that you could possibly need? A better understanding of God. That's the only thing anyone could possibly need. Because everything hinges on God. God is all there is. Money is not God. God doesn't give us money. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free of the belief that money is supply or money is important. What is important is expressing the qualities of God. If we do that, we will have everything we need. Spirit is defined as substance. Substance. Money is not on the list of spirit. Strength is. Do we have the strength to resist the temptation of money being our motive? Spirit gives us that strength. Because strength is one of the words that defines spirit. Reflection is another word that defines spirit. What are we reflecting? Are we reflecting God or the devil if we're focusing on money? Well, money is not listed as a quality of God in any of the terms for God. None of the seven list money as a term for God. So we're not reflecting God if we're focusing on money. And where do we get our strength? We get our strength from knowing that the only real substance is spirit. Therefore, if we focus on spirit in the way we think and talk and the actions we take instead of matter, money is matter. In fact, money does not matter because matter is unreal. Spirit is real and matter is the opposite. I read off the 22 terms that are the opposite of spirit. And matter is number 15. Strength is number 44 of the quality of God that represents spirit. So we need to know that our strength comes from spirit. When we focus on spirit, then we will have strength. Mary Baker Eddy says, the good we do and embody gives us the only good available. The only power available. The only strength available. The good we do and embody gives us the only power available. And everything else, the only strength. The only substance. The only reflection, the only reality, the only quality, the only purity, the only progress, the only true nature, the only love. How about leaven? Leaven breaks up the sense of limitation and lets the fulfillment become visible. Yeast is the material term for leaven. So yes, if we're making bread and we want it to rise so that it is fluffier and soft, then we use yeast. That is the symbol for leaven. And when we use the chemical called yeast, we should think of it as leaven. It is bringing it to fulfillment. It is making bread more complete, like all the other elements you need to put into bread, whatever it is, flour, water, and whatever. Everything we do, we should be thinking about the spiritual quality and not the material term. If we see a beautiful tree, think about the beauty of it, the strength of it. The seed within itself, where there will be seeds that come from the tree, and you can plant those and have another tree, many more trees. The seed within itself. When we think of the first verse, let's think about the fact that we need to mother whatever quality that comes to thought that we're expressing in whatever activity we're expressing at the moment. And then we will be able to give a spiritual animus to it, as opposed to looking upon it as a material activity. The second verse, hallowed be thy name, adorable one. It's important to recognize the position that the important figures in the Bible represented. Moses represented revealing that God was the great I am. I am that I am. Each Bible character represented something that was unique. Jesus, of course, was the stellar example of love. No matter what happened in his experience, he was always loving, never hating any idea of God or any quality of God. The only thing he showed disgust for was evil. That's it. He didn't tolerate evil one bit. We shouldn't be tolerating evil one bit. He exposed the evil by overturning the tables of the money changers who were at the entrance to the church trying to make a buck, you know, trying to make a profit on people that were coming to church. He overthrew their tables. Anytime an activity of evil presented itself, he would say, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, he wouldn't give it any credence that it was real. He wouldn't let it into his consciousness as being something that he was going to give a home to. No, it had to be out there isolated by itself. He wasn't going to give it anything that was a resonance in his consciousness. And we should not either. We want to hallow God, because God is El Numero Uno. Jesus represented love. Mary Baker Eddy represented love. That's why they used to call her Mother. She was mothering them. Wherever they needed help, she would lift them up. But God is already there. God is already perfect. So we give him the hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W, term in just thinking about God. Hallow be thy name. Certainly not take it in vain. Utilizing the word God as a profane word is absolutely breaking the Lord's Prayer. We need to think of God as being the adorable one, the perfect one. The next verse, thy kingdom come. Well, what does that mean? Well, Mary Baker Eddy tells us it's already here. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. Whenever we are faced with something that is chaotic, such as a weather, storm, earthquake, lightning, anything that is chaotic, we could think of this one verse. Thy kingdom come. Thy is a capital, meaning God. God's kingdom is here. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. God's kingdom is right here. It's omnipresent. Thou art ever present. How can it be ever present? Because it is within our consciousness. All we have to do is open the door and examine it and realize that it's already within us. Already within. Tesla. Nikola Tesla, the genius of 100 years ago, he said, sickness means that there is the lack of harmony within. We felt it so important we have it on our in our header, which means that it shows up on every single page of the website. If there's any chaos, that's sickness. Any chaos within, that is sickness. Are we under the belief of cancer or any other name? You name any sickness whatsoever, and that means that there is something within our consciousness that is discordant, that is chaotic. We are missing the peace and harmony that is inherent in every one of God's ideas. We must claim that God is here right now. Thy kingdom is come. Thy kingdom is within my thought, my consciousness, because God is ever present. So there can't be anything that can cause chaos. One of the greatest practitioners of all time and geniuses in Christian Science is Frederick L. Rawson, R-A-W-S-O-N. He not only discovered how to treat back in time, in other words, he could address one's experience at a date prior to the date that was the date of the day. And he could heal based on a prior period of the calendar. He could go back to the day that the belief first became observed and heal it. So that means that all the grief that one went through disappeared from consciousness. It was healed. It was neutralized from the inception. To my knowledge, no one else has even touched on that topic. Although, when someone is raised from the dead, that's exactly what you do. You go back and realize that life never ended. God is life, and there's no end to the life of God, and therefore no end to the image of God, which is what each one of us are. Genesis 1 says, "And God made man in his image and after his likeness." So that's going back in time. But generally speaking, people don't think about the factor of time when they're involved in the healing process. But they should. He discovered it. He told us how to do it. He wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And he discusses it there. He covers one, it's an encyclopedia of how to overcome 1,315 illnesses. Everything you can imagine. You go in there and he will tell you exactly what the belief is and exactly what the reverse of the belief is. In other words, the truth. And if you work on those thoughts that he provides, you will heal the situation. Excellent resource. And when you think about the fact that he could go back in time, you know that he mastered the healing process. The next verse Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth. God is omnipotent, supreme. When we state these words, we're saying we're ready. I'm listening, Father, Mother God. I'm listening. And what does God say? I'm here. I'm the only power. I'm omnipotent, all power. And what you think of me as being in heaven, it's right here on earth. Because I'm omnipresent, as the prior verse said. So he's omnipresent and he's omnipotent. That's why it says, thy will be done. God's will. Thy is a capital T. God's will is already in existence. It's right here. It's already done. Genesis 1 states that it's already done. The end of that story of the spiritual creation, the record of the spiritual creation, in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, at the end it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And good is defined, as mentioned before, as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscient, omnipresence, and omniaction. That doesn't leave anything out. All four of those are action words. That's why God represents already being complete. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. When I gave you the definition from page 465 at the beginning of this recording, it said that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So he's supreme over all. He's like the supreme ruler. There's nothing higher. The next. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what is our daily bread? Mary Baker Eddy says it in the explanation. The spiritual sense, she says, give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. Are we desiring to get more spiritual understanding? Jesus broke bread with his disciples. He was explaining it to them. He was probably hoping that they had famished affections for what he was giving them. Although it's easy to wonder if they were really paying attention, because John is the only one that showed up at the cross to support him and to support spirit and truth and love that he represented, as well as mind and soul and principle and life. Give us grace for today. When I was with a friend observing the Olympics, we were watching gymnastics. And she and her husband were very interested in what was going on. And my friend, the wife, said, she was a practitioner, and she said, look at the grace that individual is being exemplary of. You know, it was gymnastics, and it was smooth as glass. It's like they were performing in lubricant. It was so smooth. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Are we graceful when we talk to people? Are we gentle and loving? We should be. God gave us the quality of grace. Are we reflecting it? Okay, the next one is the golden rule. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. Do we love, or do we wait until somebody loves us And then we return the love. Mary Baker Eddy says even a criminal will do that. Even a criminal will return love when someone gives love to them. But God is love. If we're going to reflect God, we don't wait for someone else to give us love. We should be looking for opportunities. Whatever we're doing, be alert to an opportunity to express love. Give a helping hand. Do you need to open the door for someone that their hands are full and they desire to go through the passageway? Do you open the door and hold it for them? We have so many opportunities all day long to express love. If we're not doing it, we're shortchanging ourselves because we're not glorifying God. And if we are giving love, then we're glorifying God because God is love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. See, there's those words, sin and disease. Disease, dis-ease, anything that's not perfectly harmonious. Principle represents harmony. Let me give you a couple of other explanations of the seven synonymous terms. We talked about mind. I'll give it to you a little more fully, but mind is creative ability, capacity, capability, functionality, facility. It is performance. It is action. It is power. Spirit, as I mentioned, is flawless, transparent, reflection, the only substance. Soul is how we identify things. That is our senses, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. But we want to know what is the spiritual nature of those. And that is on our website, the five spiritual senses. We have prayer treatments on what the five spiritual senses represent. If you're interested, it's easy to find it under prayer treatments. Principle is how things operate. Principle is self-operating. Everything has to be in balance. Everything has to be harmonious. Then it's in accordance with divine principle. Life is living the qualities of God. It's expressing intelligence in everything we do. It's expressing the spiritual nature. It's seeing with spiritual vision. It's hearing with spiritual understanding, and so forth. It is knowing what the principle is of every activity we're involved in. We shouldn't be doing it if we don't understand how the principle operates in what we're doing. Life is eternal. If we live the qualities of God, we will never experience death. Because that's the opposite. Truth means staying on track. That is our motive. It means we're conscious of what we're doing. If we're not conscious, then we get off the path. If we're conscious, then we can stay on the path of truth. That's the shortest distance between us and where God is the path of truth. And remember, it's within consciousness. The kingdom of God is within. And love, whatever you have to do to nurture, whatever the activity is you're involved in, that's what love is. You need a little bit of help here, a little bit of help there. Imagine your consciousness as being a garden. You're growing a beautiful flower or a flowering shrub. Do you need a little more water? You're giving it too much water? You need to cultivate the soil? Whatever is needed to bring it to fulfillment, that is love. Because love is wholeness, completeness. So, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from evil. All forms, sin, disease, and death. Delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. We can never get by saying the devil made me do it. The devil has no power unless we give it to it. The devil doesn't even exist except within consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article entitled, Love Your Enemies. It begins on page 8 of Miscellaneous Writings. And we have a whole series of prayer treatments on that one article. It's so important. She begins chapter 12, which is Christian Science Practice, with the story of Mary Magdalene. What is that about? It's about loving. It's about forgiving. Are you a giver? Do you ever go to our website? The Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, which is mbeinstitute.org. How much money have you given in contributions to the website? None. Is that how much? None. Or you gave $50 a year or $100 a year? Most likely you gave nothing. And if you gave $50 or $100 a year, that's better than nothing, but not much. How much do you waste money on? How much money do you spend on frivolities? Frivolous things. It's up to you. It's your life. The Bible says we should tithe. Tithe is a tenth part, 10%. It doesn't say what, but it should include everything in your life. It should include 10% of the money that you earn. Not what you have left over, but 10% of the gross. 10% of your assets. If you're worth $1 billion, have you given $100 million away? To people that are in need? To good activities that are helping humanity? If your total assets is $100, did you give $10? Jesus said the lady that gave 2 mites, which equals 1 penny, gave more than everyone else. Because she gave everything she had to the church. And the church, in that particular case, was a symbol for giving it to God. And what is God? Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. On page 587, she defines God as being the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All-substance, intelligence. Are you giving 10% of your effort? There's 1,440 minutes in a day. Are you giving at least 144 minutes? 144. 2 hours and 24 minutes. Are you studying at least 2 hours and 24 minutes? Are you smiling? Are you giving a facial expression away? Are you giving a helping hand when someone needs it? If someone has their car stalled and they have it pulled over off the road, do you stop and see if you can help them? Do you open the door for someone when you're going into a store, when you're shopping? Do you look behind and see if there's someone behind you so you don't let the door go in their face, but you hold it open for them to come through? If someone cuts in front of you when you're driving, do you say, "Thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to be gracious"? Whatever reason he has for doing it, he has a reason. Do we help him or do we give him a big frown? What are you doing that for? Don't you know how to drive? We have an opportunity every moment to make it either good or bad, to be loving or hateful. Every moment. We have that opportunity to decide how are we going to use this moment and what kind of an attitude are we going to have about it. It says, "Lead us not into temptation." It says, "God leadeth us not into temptation." So God doesn't make us do something evil, and the devil has no power unless we give it to it. The final verse, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." For God is infinite. All power, all life, truth, love. Over all and all. No limit to God. It says right here, God is infinite. So where the primary verse says, "For thine is the kingdom," well, where is the kingdom? It's infinite. It's everywhere. And how about the power? How much power does God have? It says all power. And glory? It says all life, truth, and love. All life, truth, and love. Our life is God. God is truth. God is love. And what does it cover? Everything. It says over all and all. The first all is a small letter A, which means manifestation. And the second all is a capital A, which means God. So God is the source, and God is the manifestation, and God is over everything. God is over all manifestation. We're part of the manifestation. 8.3 billion of us, we're all a part of the manifestation. That's the estimated population of the earth. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Remember what she says about this. She says that we can heal instantaneously if we understand the spiritual meaning of the Lord's Prayer. And she gives us the spiritual sense of it, which we've covered in this recording. Something else I want to point out that is very interesting, and that is that in research that various people have done about the principles of Christian Science, is that if one looks at Genesis chapter 1, the commandments, the Beatitudes, and the Lord's Prayer, there is a direct connection between those four. And I will just cover the second one because we're focusing on spirit. And the order of the days of creation that are explained in Genesis chapter 1. Are in this order, as I've read it to you before, or recited it, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So the second day of creation is spirit. And this is what has been discovered in studying Genesis, the commandments, the Beatitudes, and the Lord's Prayer. The second day of creation says, and this is in Genesis 1, verses 6 to 8, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And that's been defined as talking about purity, separation, reality, order, and substance. And of course, those are all terms that define spirit. So the second term for God is spirit. The second day of creation in Genesis is about spirit. Let's look at the commandments. The second commandment. That's Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does that mean? Onlyness, purity, order, and separation. We're going to separate evil from good. And we're only going to focus on God, which is good. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Purity and order and separation and onlyness. So the second commandment and the second day of creation lines up perfectly with the second verse of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. That means sanctified, pure, and separate be thy name. The only substance. And how about the Beatitudes? The second Beatitude, which is in Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see? They mourn because they don't realize that spirit is the only substance. Maybe they're at a funeral. Blessed are they that mourn. Maybe they had some tragedy happen in their family. And the spiritual aspect of that says true separation. The gain of the spiritual and the loss of the material brings purity, reality, and substance. So there you have it. The days of creation, which is the very first chapter of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, and the Lord's Prayer all line up perfectly with the same theme of spirit. We must remember that everything works together for them that love God. The spiritual nature of everything and how they work together is revealed to those who are seeking spiritual progress in their life. I'll tell you real quickly, if you want to improve your spiritual understanding of God, here is a guaranteed way to heal anything that is a problem. Number one, you have to recognize the Bible characters and what they represented. You have to recognize Jesus as not being God, but being the Son of God, as He Himself has stated in the Bible. The Pharisees ask Him, "Good Lord, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And He says, "Why call me good? There's only one good, and that is God." And then He gave them the two greatest commandments. They asked for one, but He said this, "The greatest commandment of all is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself." So He says there's no such thing as one commandment because they go together. And I'm not God. God is good, not me. Don't call me good. And of course, on page 587, Mary Baker Eddy has stated, defines good as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. So we need to recognize everybody in their position. Mary Baker Eddy was prophesied in the Bible. She has a very definite position. She delivered the science of the healing that Jesus did. And it is called Christian Science or Divine Metaphysics, both meaning the same thing. What does she state about Divine Metaphysics? She says the following. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. That's on page 146 of the textbook. And on page 330, she states this: when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Now, from page 330 to the end of the chapter, she lists 32 paragraphs, 32 topics, and she calls those the 32 planks. If we understand those 32 topics in those 10 or 12 pages, and if we understand that everything is reduced to a system, and we learn the system, and we teach you that in all of these prayer treatments, I gave you a little bit of it in this treatment. It's like mathematics. You have to know the digits of 0 through 9, and you have to know how add, subtract, multiply, and divide operate, and then you can utilize mathematics. If you understand the 7 synonymous terms and the operators, which I didn't mention, but they are the word, which means what is God all about, and the Christ, which means translating whatever comes our way into spiritual terms, and Christianity, which means demonstrating that you know what God's about and that you are translating everything into spiritual terms, then you can demonstrate, which means you can heal. And science is the fourth one, which means that the whole process is so automatic because you are so familiar and understand it all that you're doing what Jesus did. When he came upon someone in his travels that needed help, he automatically translated to whatever their problem was to seeing them as a perfect idea of God. And he was often asking them, do you want to be healed? Do you have faith that you can be healed? In other words, do you trust that there is a God and that that God can heal you? And if they were receptive, he would heal them. Or he would open the door and reflect the truth of God, and then they would experience the healing. Think about those parameters. He had to think of them as being not a sick or sinful or dead person, but he had to think of them as being alive and perfect. And they had to be receptive. And then the healing would take place. It says in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. We always want to give gratitude for whomever helped contribute to what we learned. And that obviously includes God. I'm very grateful for the characters in the Bible from which I've learned, and particularly Christ Jesus and Paul. I'm very grateful for Mary Baker Eddy. She sacrificed her life to give us the system of divine metaphysics, and advanced authors such as Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow was another one. He said, imagine being in a room and there's a phone ringing its head off, trying to make suggestions, which are mortal mind evil, and it's looking for a home. And there's a radio in there that is tuned into station KOG that is only announcing the things about God and heaven and perfection. Obviously, we want to listen to the radio and we want to tell the telephone to go get lost, because it's only trying to make a home for unreality and we're not interested. It has no power over us and we're not going to give it any. We're going to expose it, and it will destroy most of itself. And then we'll clean it up by destroying the rest that's left over. I'm grateful for other authors that have given us so much. And then it's good to end your study time with some truth about God, or about what we learned in our study of Christian Science, which of course is including the truth about God. I will end this prayer treatment with the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen. And P.S. P.S. Please look in the menu or in the header and click on the button that says Heal Everything. And that will explain in detail one suggested method, which enables you to increase your spiritual understanding, working toward the ability to be able to heal everything. Thank you.